We're pleased and proud to welcome back to the show Dr. Jim Adams. He is the Chief Medical Officer of the Rokan Show, but he's also, I guess, it says here, the Chief Medical Officer of, or the, yes, of Northwestern Medicine, which is, you know, a very important job, too, not quite what it stands for the Rokan Show. And it's brought to you by, oh, look at this. This is interesting. Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. All right, Dr. Jim, you're on. We got a lot of questions for you today. And if you've got questions for Dr. Jim Adams, 312-981-7200, health questions, medical questions, you're going back to work, your kids are going to camp or whatever it happens to be, how do you want to keep them safe? What are the good ideas? What are the bad ideas? Can you protect yourself with any of the things people are now thinking they can protect themselves with? That's probably where I want to start here. Let's start with vitamin D, because there was a story in Forbes, actually, asking this exact question about whether vitamin D can help with protecting somebody from getting seriously ill. What is your thought on that?
Well, it's still early. There's no definitive proof, but vitamin D is good. Having healthy vitamin D levels is good for your health anyway. So take the supplements, get a little bit of healthy sunshine if you get a chance to, and I think getting your vitamin D levels into the normal range is actually a good recommendation.
Okay, just in general, it's a good recommendation.
In general, and as the science emerges, we'll know more definitively, but it definitely is not going to hurt.
Right, and the science is looking at the possible mechanism that it can block the virus from being able to attack those cells, or it make it as easy as it is to get into those cells. What do we know what it is about vitamin D that they think might actually be helpful here?
Well, it's all speculation at the moment, but people with high vitamin D levels, they think that the vitamin D can prevent some of the cell entry. But again, it's a bit speculative. Similarly, people have advocated for zinc and vitamin C, and again, it's not going to hurt, but vitamin D seems to have the best laboratory evidence. But again, in the clinical environment, it's not really been rigorously tested.
Okay, and in laboratories, so they put everything in a test tube and they see how it interacts, and that seems to be the thing.
Right.
And so we're at an early stage here with all of this science that is coming online. Do you get the sense that, as we just heard now, they're going to be doing this antibody testing, and over the number of years, they're going to be looking at people with antibodies and how those antibodies hold up against possible reinfection later on? Because antibodies don't necessarily protect you for the rest of your life. In some cases they do, but with viruses they may not. Can you explain a little bit about why that is?
Well, first, the science is so impressive to move this fast. We haven't known this virus. It only appeared in January, and we're still learning a lot about it. But we know it's a coronavirus, and there's other types of coronaviruses. So we have to be careful with the antibody testing, because we could test for antibodies and mistake and get the antibodies from a different coronavirus and think that we're immune. So there has to be some rigor around the type of antibody testing. Many of these have been rushed, which is a good thing, but we don't want it rushed and then have a mistake. So that's the first message.
Especially you don't want
is the antibody.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, then we don't the antibody testing that would suggest that we have immunity, because the antibodies are what attacks the virus and then kills it and protects us. So we would think that we would be immune if we have antibodies, but we're not perfectly sure. Remember, it's a new virus, so do you have enough antibodies? And then your body attacks the viruses in other ways, killer T cells that's not in the antibody test. So the antibody test alone is not everything, but if there's high levels of antibodies, we would presume that you'd have immunity. But then it wanes. It lasts maybe weeks, months, maybe years, but probably not a lifetime. We would hope for a lot of months and a lot of years, but we don't know. But this is why we can get common colds again, because the immune response helps us get over a cold. But then a couple years later, we could get that same coronavirus again. So right. The antibody testing isn't everything.
Okay, but it's important, at least at this moment, to understand who may have actually had it or how prevalent this has been in the environment.
Oh, at this moment, with the right antibody test for this coronavirus and a tested thing, absolutely. That way we know who has had it. We would know if it's a good test, how immune the person would have immunity. So yes, the recommended tests, it's a wonderful thing to do. I just didn't want everybody rushing out and getting any old test. But yeah, the guided tests, we would definitely want to know, and we'll see how many people, as we do the antibody testing in Chicago, how many people have been exposed.
All right, to the phones we go. Dr. Jim Adams from Northwestern Medicine is with us. Patricia, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Patricia.
Hi there. I was tested for coronavirus on March 18th, and I was positive. But I never had much of a fever. And so I'm concerned that everyone's going to take everyone's temperature as a precursor to getting on a plane or going in here or going in there, because it doesn't seem like a good idea.
Well, so the temperature, you're right. Not everybody gets a fever with this, and many people don't have a fever at all. Some people have just a little fever. However, if people do have a fever, that's a bad thing and wouldn't mandate a test. But the temperature screening is really only one part of the equation. And you're right, a lot of people can have minimal to no symptoms.
Right. And how did you get through it, Patricia? How long did it last and how severe was it?
It was about 3.5 weeks. And I want those 3.5 weeks back for my life. It was like the worst flu I've ever had.
But you didn't have a high fever, though.
No high fever.
Okay.
No high fever, but loss of taste, no appetite, severe fatigue.
Days turning into nights, turning into days. That's what people are saying. So did you have the upper respiratory problems, too? Were you having trouble breathing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. And you weren't hospitalized or anything for this. This is you were able to stay at home?
Yes, exactly. But I did almost have a tantrum to get a test. Because
yeah.
I had pneumonia several years ago, and I'm like, hey, I've had pneumonia. This is right. I know what pneumonia feels like. If this is not corona, it's pneumonia.
Oh, I'm glad you're better.
Glad you're better. Back in March,
oh,
the testing
too.
Was difficult. Yeah, it's not. The testing is not difficult anymore. The state has a lot of testing centers. All the hospitals and doctors have access to tests now. So it's much different than March, which is much better for everybody else who has symptoms like that.
All right, right before we take the break, I want to get this answered because we're just talking about vitamin D as a potentially as a good thing to take and to have in your system. It may have some sort of an effect. They're still looking at this scientifically, but it may have some sort of effect warding off the coronavirus. And Carl, your question?
Yeah, well, hi, Dr. Adams. I started doing the D thing months before the coronavirus started. And besides potentially supporting immune health, is it true about important for calcium absorption as well? And how many IUs do you recommend a day for, let's say, adult, senior, citizen type?
So what I would recommend is first get your vitamin D level checked by your doctor, and they can tell you whether you need a high dose or a lower dose. So I think it's best to have that conversation, given everybody's individual risk. The second thing, it is true that the vitamin D is best taken with some food, some fat or calcium to keep in balance. But vitamin D is absorbed by fat. And because it's stored in fat, it can last for a very, very, very long time. So the vitamin D is, if it's absorbed, it'll store in fat. And it can last weeks, months, for a long time. So get the vitamin D level checked because many people in Chicago are low, but people could have diets high in vitamin D, healthy diets, and not be deficient.
Is there a specific IU, before we take the break, is there a specific dosage that would be good?
Yeah, the over-the-counter doses, the 2,000, the 5,000, the over-the-counter doses are fine, but people who are very low may want to have a higher dose. But most people, if they take it regularly, the lower dose is fine if it's well absorbed. But some people will have trouble absorbing.
Carl, thank you very much. We'll get back to your phone calls, 312-981-7200. Dr. Jim Adams is here from Northwestern Medicine, taking your phone calls, any kind of questions about where we stand now. As people are starting to get back to work, get back into the stores, potentially get back into the restaurants as soon as June 1st in some places that are going to be defying the governor's order and going, hey, we're opening up no matter what. So if people are doing that, ways to say to stay safe or questions you have about that. Or maybe you want to take the evidence that Dr. Adams has and go back to your family and go, what are you doing here? All of that. 312-981-7200. And Dr. Jim, we were talking about vitamin D as a potential for at least their testing to see if it actually makes a difference in terms of warding off the coronavirus, this particular coronavirus. Is there anything else that you would suggest? I know that hydroxychloroquine came up in the last 24 hours in the news cycle. Are there any other that or anything else that people are looking at that they might, if they ask their doctor for?
Well, I'll tell you what, all the doctors, me, all the nurses, all the healthcare people at the hospital who are not getting this and not getting infected despite taking care, we're screening, we're cleaning, and we're separating. And we're screening ourselves, not only just for fever, for muscle aches, shortness of breath, fatigue. Anybody that has a symptom gets tested immediately. So we're screening every single day when we walk into work. Everybody gets screened. We're cleaning our hands, cleaning ourselves, cleaning the environment. And we're separating by distance and masks. And that's the way to stay safe through this. So we just need to make peace with screening, cleaning, and separating. And stay, wear the mask, stay distant, wash our hands a lot. And it really does work. That's where I would focus. And less on the pills, less on the vitamin D, less on the things. And let's let the science proceed. And we'll know what's proven to be effective, the screening, cleaning, and separating.
All right, Dr. Jim Adams is with us. Pat, you're on WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Pat.
Hello. I was exposed in late March to the coronavirus, and I didn't get sick. And then my husband became very, very sick, and he was so sick that I had to take care of him. And I never got sick. So obviously, I am asymptomatic. So how long am I asymptomatic? I did stay home 14 days. I worked for an agency that's essential. But I'm always concerned that, am I always going to be asymptomatic and spread the disease? Or does that stop at some point, obviously?
So after several weeks, and the longest is around 40 days, but usually it's 2 weeks, then presumably you had the exposure to the virus, you got the virus. Your body will deal with it typically in 2 weeks. The longest would be 30, 40 days. So you're outside of any dangerous window. And I think when the antibody testing does come next month to the Chicago area, both you and your husband should get tested. And you may be very lucky to have acquired it but have had no symptoms. So hopefully both you and your husband are well and stay well, but the antibody testing would stay. But since it's been so many weeks ago, since it was the other month, I think that you're safe.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. That's a pretty good outcome right there.
The other thing if she's worried, she can show to a testing station and get tested. So I think if it's within a few weeks, just show up and get tested, and then we'll know she's negative.
Right. And what did you say about this other test coming to Chicago? What is that?
The antibody testing that we were talking about before, that Chicago is one of 25 cities in the country that over the summer, the government wants to draw people's bloods to see how many people have been exposed.
But there are people who are already getting antibody testing here. You can go to their clinics you can go to. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Do you need to... let me get to a question here, actually, from John, because he's following up on exactly this. This line of questioning. John, you're on WGN. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, Raul. Good afternoon, doctor. I guess my question is this. I know, you know, due to supply shortages of both the testing equipment and swabs and everything that you need to do them, my wife and I both believe that back in the February area, we may have had it. At what point in time are we able to go get tests? Because I know at some point you can only do what the doctors know it. And I'm just wondering if now that's clear and we can go ahead and get them if we need to.
The antibody test, not the positive test, because the COVID test, as it were, only tells you if you have it at the moment. But the antibody test is what you would be qualifying for. Does he need a doctor's note, Dr. Adams?
So for the PCR test, the test to see if you have the infection, you're exactly right. After a couple of weeks, that becomes negative. And just like the other caller, if you're concerned that you might still have the infection, show up and get a test. And it is you do need a doctor's note because you do have to meet CDC criteria. Because while testing is widely available with public health, we still want to make sure people meet criteria. And so if you've had symptoms, you meet criteria. However, if it's been such a long time ago that the testing for the disease makes no sense anymore, then the antibody testing to see if you have antibodies in your system does start to make sense. But again, my caution to make sure you talk to your doctor so you get a good antibody test, and that will rapidly scale up in the weeks ahead. If you don't have access today, it'll happen this summer.
Okay, and that's the blood serum test, not the swab test. That's been the concern
correct.
There, the difference between the two. All right, Janet, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Janet.
Yes, I have a question about the face masks. I've never heard an explanation exactly why the face mask is only good at protecting others from what we might exhale or why we're using the face mask. So if it's protective in that way, why is it not protective for catching it from someone else? So in other words, why is the face
right,
mask?
I get it. That's a very good question. That's an excellent thing. So why, if it's good for them, why is it not good for you? But go ahead, doctor.
Because it blocks my breath, my mask blocks my breath, the respiratory droplets don't really get far out into the air, and that's why it protects everybody else. But when I inhale the spaces inside the mask, I can inhale through that mask. So if there's virus particles right outside the mask, it can come through those little holes. The viruses are super tiny and tinier than the holes in the mask. So that's why it protects others, because the respiratory droplets will get blocked and won't get very far. But if the virus is outside, I can inhale it in both through the sides of the mask or the holes itself.
Got it.
So I hope that helps a little bit. If the mask is a medical N95, then it will filter out the viruses. But those masks don't filter very well because air will come in from the side. So they don't filter on the way in, but they'll block on the way out.
Right. In terms of those masks that everybody is getting right now, whether it's a surgical mask or it's those cloth masks or whatever it happens to be. Although the doctors and the government officials are saying, hey, it's better to have it than not to have it. So that makes sense. Yeah. All right.
Yep,
okay. Dr. Jim Adams, thank you very much. As always, from Northwestern Medicine, brought to us by Northwestern Medicine. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Bye.